3 months or so ago, Terry sent me an article he had just read and said, "I think this has something to do with Maundy Thursday." So you can all see what you think. In 1985, a young doctor stood on the edge of a promising career. He had done well in medical school and had completed a lengthy and grueling residency at Mass General, a busy urban hospital in Boston. He had worked long shifts, treating patient after patient with any number of life-threatening conditions, and he knew what it took to be fast and efficient and decisive in his work. He was ready for his first official job when a couple of his professors approached him with a request. Would he consider spending 1 year at a community clinic largely caring for homeless people in a poor, underserved part of the city? New federal funding was available for assignments like this, and they thought he would be a good fit. He hadn't pictured anything like this for himself before. He was accustomed to working in a state-of-the-art medical facility with lots of resources. He imagined he'd be doing more of the same throughout his career. But largely to please his professors, he agreed to the request. It was only a year, after all. Then he could really move ahead with his life. The clinic was located in a part of the city that he had never been to before and was connected to a homeless shelter. He marched confidently into the shabby waiting room on his first morning with his freshly pressed trousers and his shiny shoes and a stethoscope hanging around his neck, ready to do what he knew to do: diagnose problems and prescribe treatments. But the nurses who ran the clinic had other ideas. He had only been there for an hour when the head nurse took him aside. "Nurses created this clinic," she said to him. "They were proud of it, and many of them would be happy never to see a doctor on the premises." She disagreed. "Homeless people ought to have the benefits of a doctor's skills. I think we want doctors," she said. "But you have been trained all wrong. Most, if not all, of the clinic's patients had experienced severe trauma," she explained, "and the typical doctor's approach often terrified them. So it would take time and patience and a lot of listening before the young doctor would even have the chance to act clinically. You have to let us retrain you," she said. "If you come in with your doctor questions, you won't learn anything. You have to learn to listen to these patients." So she gave him his first assignment. He would be soaking patients' feet. Many came to this clinic with bruised and swollen feet, damaged from walking long distances in poor shoes, or none at all, and sleeping outside in the cold. The nurses at the clinic soaked a lot of feet, and that's where he would begin as well. I don't know what the disciples were expecting Jesus to do at this point in the first Holy Week 2,000 years ago. The city around them was in turmoil. Jesus had deliberately riled everybody up with his attention-grabbing entrance just a few days earlier, riding into the city like a conquering king amidst shouts of "Hosanna to the Son of David." His supporters were thrilled, imagining he was ready to stage a rebellion, expel the oppressors, and set things right. His enemies, the religious and political elite, were distraught, fearing a popular revolt that could destabilize the region and threaten their hold on power. In the days since, Jesus had been publicly teaching and debating, drawing further attention to himself, adding more fuel to the fire. So now Jesus gathers his disciples together for an evening. I don't know if they were excited or worried or hopeful or full of some complex jumble of emotions, but I guess I imagine they might have been expecting Jesus to give them some marching orders, either to explain how this coming revolt was going to work, like what the strategy was going to look like, who was going to lead the crowds in protest, when, where everybody was going to be stationed, or maybe to lay out their escape plan, how they were going to get out of this powder keg of a conflict before it blew up and took all of them with it. These were his disciples, after all, his closest friends and allies. Surely they were going to have an important role to play in whatever was about to happen. Surely they were going to be called on to lead in dramatic ways. They'd been with Jesus for years now. They'd been training for this. But instead of going to a chalkboard and outlining a game plan, Jesus stands up silently, ties a towel around himself, takes a basin of water, and kneels down before his friends one by one. They cannot have been expecting this. Not from Jesus, their leader, and not now when the stakes were so high. For his first month at the community clinic, this young doctor did virtually nothing but soak feet. He filled trays with water and soothing minerals and sat with these men and women while they rested and found a little bit of relief. This was frustrating at first. He was often making silent diagnoses to himself as he observed the patients. He had lots of ideas about what was wrong and what might help, but he listened to the head nurse and he held back, just soaking feet day after day. And after some weeks like this, he was preparing to soak the feet of a regular at the clinic. This was already the third or fourth time he'd seen him, when the man, usually silent, spoke up. "Hey, I thought you were supposed to be a doctor." No one had yet called him a doctor in his weeks at the clinic, so he was kind of excited about this. "Yes," he responded enthusiastically. "Yes, I'm indeed a doctor." "So what are you doing soaking feet?" the man asked. "I do whatever the nurses tell me to do," the doctor said. "Smart man, that's what I do," came the reply. A conversation had begun there, and over weeks to come, the man opened up about his life, his health, where he struggled, and what he needed help with. The doctor was able to use his skills, but only because he'd taken the time to listen. Only because he'd taken the time to kneel at this man's feet and treat him like a person to be cared for, rather than a problem to be solved. The head nurse knew exactly what she was doing, handing him a basin of water. This is where it all began. Maybe Jesus was teaching his disciples something like that. In the midst of everything swirling around them, the fear and uncertainty and conflict and need, when they might have either felt paralyzed by worry or imagined they needed to do something great and dramatic and impressive, he showed them a different way. "Listen. Kneel down. Tend to those around you. Show mercy. Act in love. Serve. For I have set you an example," Jesus said, "that you also should do as I have done to you." It may not always look like much, but it is what the way of Jesus looks like. And the promise of the gospel is that this is, in fact, where life is to be found. 90 years ago, Albert Schweitzer, a person who did many great and impressive things, was asked to speak to a graduating class of high school students in the UK, young people at this important point of transition in their lives. And he gave them this advice. "Our hearts often look for something very big, something wanting a lot of sacrifice, and often our heart does not see the humble things. At first, you must learn to do the humble things, and often they are the most difficult to do. In those humble things, be busy about something, about helping someone who has need of you. You see somebody alone, try and be with him. Try to give him some of the hours which you might take for yourself, and in that way, learn to serve. And then only will you begin to find true happiness. I don't know what your destiny will be. Some of you will perhaps occupy remarkable positions. Perhaps some of you will become famous by your pens or as artists. But I know one thing. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." This Holy Week, Jesus reminds us of that truth again. As his followers, his disciples, we may be called to many things, but our charge is always to listen, to love, to serve where we are. In the midst of the world's need and the challenges of life, the basin and the towel point the way for us. They point us to the challenge of this calling, but also to its gift. Because service to others is not only a task. It is where grace is found. It is where fulfillment is found. And friends, it is where Jesus is found. Amen.